again about direct methods and factorizations, some remarks about complexity, computational complexity, which means simply the total amount of flops, in particular, usually only multiplicative flops often are considered, so we will do two, and about stability. For complexity, we are regarding the direct methods linked to LU, LR emission, and QR, which are the three factorizations that have been considered. For complexity in general, if we obtain this factorization by means of elementary matrices, at every step the matrix A, A super K at that step is multiplied on the left by an elementary matrix which in all cases has the form I minus some sigma by some u by some vector u 3h u Hermitian. We already observed that let us write the product as we could give an index to U and V corresponding to the step, also to sigma. We perform this vector matrix product in big O and squared flops. Again, the product of U sub K by the result of this product, again in big O of N squared flops, we could specify better that if we are considering the kth step, the effective complexity is of order n minus k here squared, and again here big O of the square of n minus k. It is simple to find that the sum of let us call this big T sub K is cubic in N. This is well known. Some detail regarding the case of the single, the specific direct methods, or in other words, the single factorization. The single factorizations which are linked to the various methods. In the case of Gauss, if we count only multiplicative operations, The new matrix is given by the old minus some sigma by some u, and here we have for Gauss the key column of the identity matrix. So this product costs zero. Here simply the corresponding row of A is picked. This product costs n minus k squared. This product has a cost of less order, so the total is about, if we sum these partial amounts for k, which goes from 1 to n minus 1, we have a total of multiplicative flops of about 1/3 of the cube of n. Also, this probably you already know. For this, AK is the matrix triangularized field the kth column excluded. For the QR factorization, or it's substantially the same thing, the householder method, what changes? What is changed? In comparison with the complexity of Gauss. And in this case, we have A, the previous matrix, minus, here we have a coefficient, we call it beta sub k, and the key step, uk transpose and conjugate, and again, we have an index. Now we have two vector matrix products. One vector matrix product which costs the square of n minus k. And a product of a column vector by a row vector, which costs again the square of n minus k. So, you see here, when we sum, that we have the double of the previous partial amount. So, this means that we will find, again, summing over k from 1 to n minus 1, we will find the double of the previous complexity. Multiplicative complexity again. This is also a well known result. Householder method costs double with respect to the Gauss elimination. To complete this summary of complexity, the Cholesky method if in this case we don't use elementary matrices, we can easily count all the multiplicative blocks in the construction of the lower matrix L, given by the formulas that we have seen two lessons ago, and we will find that the complexity is halved with respect to Gauss. This is a reasonable result because we are working on a Hermitian matrix, which is defined by n to n squared over two entries above. The stability is a very important aspect because a fast but unstable method is practically useless. We have to start from a general result that we state without proof. The stability result that is known as backward error analysis. The result is simply this. A method for, you could say, most, not all, most direct methods. This result states that a method is a direct method related to a factorization. It is unstable, so it could derive poor stability. Can make, let's say better, occur when a large growth of the entries of the factorization, a large growth occurs. That is, if we when we factorize, let us take for example the first of the three factorization, the LU factorization, when we find for a given matrix A that the matrix L or the matrix U, or both, have entries in absolute module much greater than the entries of A, this is a symptom, this is a possible warning that the method connected with this factorization, that is the Gauss method, will give poor, inaccurate, I mean, results. Even if, for Gauss, we can add that even if with permutations of rows, also of column, if I need to permute column, even if with permutation the entries of L can be made less than or equal to 1, this can be done using the so-called pivoting strategies. Notwithstanding, the entries are U is the matrix that I obtain at the end of the process. The final matrix, A, which is triangular, the entries of U in modulus can be very large. Some bound can be found with multiplicative constants which grow exponentially with n of the type modulus of u sub i sub j less than some constant by 2 to the power n. This is the poor bound. The conclusion is that Gaussian elimination, the Gauss method, can be unstable. Well, this phenomenon, the important growth of the computed entries of the factorization, cannot occur when we consider the QR factorization or also the Chomsky factorization. Why? For the QR factorization, it is very simple to realize that since we have that the initial starting matrix A is as B factorized as Q by R, Q is well bounded. Any unitary matrix has all entries with moduli less than or equal to 1. Because Q is unitary. Then, if I consider the other factor can be written as the transpose conjugate, the conjugate transpose of Q by A. If we consider the two norms of all these matrices, you can use the property that we have already met, that the product of an object, let it be a vector, let it be a matrix, by a unitary matrix, the result has the same two norm of the non-unitary factor in both cases. So the norm of R is the two norm of R is the two norm of the starting matrix. This fact guarantees the stability of the procedure. Also, we can see this in many ways. If you are thinking of the development of the householder process, at any step, at each step, you compute the new matrix, multiplying the householder elementary matrix P by the previous matrix, And in all these steps, the two norms live unchanged. Also, the condition number, if we can consider also the conditioning of the problem, really, we are transforming the given linear system in another equivalent linear systems, but the condition number of the new matrices, condition numbers, are all equal to the condition number of the standard matrix. So, conclusion for Hausdorff. Hausdorff method costs twice with respect to the Gauss method, but gives more stability. For the Cholesky method, all works well, all works fine, if we refer to this backward error analysis again, and we wonder if the entries of L in the Cholesky method these entries grow too much, this cannot happen. We found during the expansion of the factorization some formulas. Let us consider the formula regarding the diagonal entry, the diagonal entry of A. We found that the principal entry sub II was expressible as the sum of the squares of the moduli of the entries of L lying in the corresponding row. So J goes from 1 to I. And this is strictly positive. And this means that all the entries of L are less than or equal to the corresponding diagonal entry of A. That is, the maximum over all the entries of L is less than or equal to the maximum of the positive diagonal entries of. So it is not possible that the numbers that are inside the matrix cell grow too much with respect to the entries of the initial matrix. The conclusion also, the Cholesky method is stable. This is not strange. In general, Hermitian positive definite matrices behave well in all numerical methods involving them. Well, questions about these last aspects? Now we leave Dirac methods and dedicate the left part of the lesson, of today's lesson, to some special aspects of iterative methods, again for linear systems. I have to remind a few
few general results for these methods. My aim is to show you some, I could say, surprising connections among the two classical methods which belong to the classical iterative methods, so iterative methods for linear systems. I was saying, I was telling you, if we consider two classical methods, most of you know them yet. Now we will remind the definitions, Jacobi and Gauss-Seidel. Generally, there are no general connection between the convergence properties of these two methods hold. For special matrices, for instance, Hermitian positive definite, three diagonal matrices, it is possible to find results connecting their convergence. What we need to know the problem is the same, the matrix A is singular, the iterative method is based on an additive decomposition of R in the difference up to particular matrices M and N. In the cases, we go soon to the cases of the two specific methods. We remember that for Jacobi, the composition is A equal to D, the diagonal, minus B, the lower part, minus C, the upper part, strictly lower part, strictly upper part changed in sign. D is chosen as M, and B plus C is chosen as N, and for the other side, the composition puts together D and minus B in M and leaves C in M. The convergence details or conditions that we need are only these two. For the errors, the truncation errors that are defined as there are vectors, the definition of the sequence. The sequence is defined as an initial vector arbitrary and the subsequent vectors defined as the new vector let us soon distinguish the case of Jacobi and Gauss Seidel. A constant matrix, which will be called J for the Jacobi method and G for the Gauss Seidel method, multiplied by the previous vector, also for the other method, plus a constant vector, which is defined as the inverse of the matrix M, that is D or D minus B, by the known term. This is the definition of the sequence. Third point. We introduce the errors, the vectors which measure the error, as the difference between the solution x, the exact solution x, and the corresponding iterate vector x sub r key. And finally, I hope this is the last thing that we must know, the necessary and sufficient condition for convergence. Convergence in the sense that the limit of this sequence for k going to infinity is the exact solution. The necessary and sufficient condition that will be considered is for the two methods, the spectral radius. Mind the spectral radius of the matrix Z is maximum of the module of the eigenvalues of Z. The spectral radius of J and of G in the other case must be less than 1. Here, the definition of J and G must be added. J is for the first method is the inverse of D by D plus C, and G is the inverse I think that all we need is written here. The two main results I will give you regarding the behavior of the two methods. The first is for linear systems having the coefficient matrix A Hermitian. The results regard only the second method. And this is a final result, which states if A is Hermitian, non-singular, obviously, and for the applicability of the method, not only for the applicability of both methods, principle that is different from zero. Well, Gauss-Seidel
convert this if and only if A is positive definite. I must enforce the assumption. So we consider the class of matrices of Hermitian with strictly positive principal entries. The convergence of Gauss-Seidel is equivalent to the positive definiteness of the matrix A. So this can be seen as another characterization of the property of being positive definite. The proof. The proof uses the definition of the Gauss-Seidel method and some properties of positive definite matrices that have been introduced in previous lessons. A preliminary remark. Let us start from the definition of the sequence. The matrix G, J in the case of Jacobi, is called iteration matrix. The iteration matrix G for Gauss-Seidel how can we rewritten? The definition was this, but the matrix is a Hermitian, so B and C are related. More precisely, C is the conjugate transpose of B. You are right.
This is the definition for
Jacob, thank you.
Dangerous. C is B Hermitian, and recall also, I recall also the consider also the composition of A with B Hermitian instead of C. So G can be written as the inverse of the lower triangular part by here we substitute B. B Hermitian is equal to A minus A plus B sines minus B. Let me interchange minus R B plus B plus B. Our signs right, so we have minus A plus B minus B. Okay. I have written B Hermitian in terms of A, D, and B in this way. Now we see that here we have the inverse of B minus B. So if we multiply this inverse by B minus B, we have here I and here minus B minus B minus 1 by A. This seems to me right, okay? For brevity, let us go with, let us denote by F the matrix inverse of D minus B by A. And let us prove that even if A is not positive definite, so in all cases, without requiring the positive definiteness of A, this matrix A minus G Hermitian and A by G is positive definite. A may be not, but A minus G Hermitian and so on is positive indefinite. Why? Let us expand all. A minus G. G has this has been written in this way: I minus F. Mission H A I minus F. Let us expand the double product: A minus I A I A. This by A by F, no, before F to the H by A by I, so we have plus this by this by this plus I by A by F minus minus plus again. The last is minus 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 F H A F. That's all. A minus A, they vanish. We enforce F emission to be a factor on the left. And F to be a factor on the right, so we find inside the brackets A by the inverse of F plus F inverse Hermitian by A and F plus of A with the minus sign. We must be patient. Now we have to remember the definition of F, that was this, and replace F with its formula. What is our aim? Our aim is to see that this matrix is positive definite. Generally, the idea is to express the matrix as the product, as some kind of symmetrical product of terms. In fact, we have F Hermitian on the left and F on the right. Inside the brackets, the inverse of this matrix is the inverse of A by D minus B, inverse of inverse, so these make the identity. Here we have a symmetrized result. We have V minus V Hermitian by integers. We here would have H by, but A is Hermitian, so it is the inverse, by A, this, minus A. In summary, D minus B plus D to the H, which is D, because D is real and positive, minus B Hermitian is identity, minus A. But A was a substitute again for A, and fine, minus D plus B plus B Hermitian. We are lucky because some terms vanish. Only a term D is left. So this is the final form that we find. This form, this formula, tells us that the matrix is positive definite. Why? If you multiply the matrix with x, the Hermitian on the left and x on the right, this is the quadratic form, it is easy to see that we have a vector y, transposed and conjugate on the left, in the middle, the matrix D, which is diagonal where the main entry is equal to the corresponding entries of A, which are all positive or strictly positive. This is clear, a positive definite quadratic form. Well, this was only a preliminary remark, a preliminary result that will be used to prove in the second part of the lesson the equivalence between the convergence and the positive definiteness of A. This is the positive definiteness of the matrix, another matrix. Okay, let us stop as usual for 2 minutes.